Yes, it is me. Welcome back to Traveling with Françoise. Or is it I? I'm not sure. Anyway, great to have you with us, folks, as we kick into travel mode, the second hour of the show. We do come on at 11:05, which is all about local events happening here in the Coachella Valley. And then, like I said, now we shift into travel gear that talk about travel around the world, close to home, away from home, and so much more. Joining us in the boardroom, as always, is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, we did great in the first hour. We got chocolate.
Yeah. And we scored.
Yeah, our guest brought chocolate. So, we didn't even eat any during the break, though. It was about an event coming up. So remember, check that website, Traveling with Françoise, for everything we talked about on the show, website connections, information, plus our free contest page. All new contests up because we gave all those prizes that were on there last week away. So congratulations to all of those winners. Right, today's show is presented by A1 Custom Golf Cars, the Valley's leader in lithium battery installations right here in the Coachella Valley. Give Malcolm a call at A1 Custom Golf Cars in Palm Desert and two other locations. All right, today on the show, we are going to talk about Ramona. Yes, I was just there, filmed an episode. Which, by the way, that episode now is going to air this week. Another new episode of Traveling with Françoise about Ramona, California. I've sent it to all the powers that be in Ramona because we have a special version for them that doesn't have some things in it that the TV show has as far as commercial-wise and stuff. And that already has over 250 views or something, and I just sent it on Saturday. Of them looking, and they're really happy with it. And so today I want you to find out what's in Ramona, only about a little bit more than 2 hours away, but it's a beautiful drive up 74, 371, up through the mountains. Really a nice, relaxing drive. Not a lot of traffic, little bit of road work during the week, but not enough to make you not want to go that way. I really enjoyed the drive. So that is where we're going on today's this hour of the show. And we do have a couple passes to the Living Desert Zoo and Gardens to give away that don't expire until March of 2019. That number you need to call if you want to call in and chat with us is 760-440-8255. And let's see, KSQ Channel 3, they actually sent me an email and said, Françoise, are you coming back? I am. But I was just giving them a break because of football season. They try to get all that long high school football stuff in there. So I will be back this coming Saturday with a look at my trip to Montana. And then after that, we'll have a little look to Ramona as well. But this week, Fox 11, I think 5:30 on Monday, noon on Thursday, and 5:30 on Friday. It all should be the Ramona episode. So I'm excited. It's completely new graphics, and cameraman Steve has been doing lots of stuff with it. There's always something new coming out there in that industry. I mean, it's just amazing what they can do.
It's got to keep going. It's a win-win for you.
I mean, yeah, it's really, though, I was watching some other travel shows. They have it. We don't do it. We go on site, but they have those what's called a green screen that they can just send their cameraman to a location.
Oh, yeah.
Film all this stuff and then stand there in front of this green screen and just talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for me,
there's no fun in that.
I wouldn't want to do that. I mean, I want to go.
Well, I mean, I can research it just the same. I'm watching you because you're going there and you're experiencing it.
Yeah. And this show is, you think some of the other shows are packed? You thought the Borrego Springs show was packed? This one? I think might even have that one built. Beat. Okay, let's see. Lots happening in the news. Of course, Hurricane Florence, just a heads up. If you are flying, I don't know what to tell you because there are hundreds of flights that have been canceled, delayed. Gosh, I mean, it's just as far as flying to the East Coast. It is a big, big mess. Even that is affecting flights all the way across the country. So be prepared for changes or your flight not even getting to you. Do your due diligence, check in advance to see what's happening with that because it is incredible what we're seeing. Like we said earlier in the first hour with our guests that we get no rains here. The West is covered with fires, which not as bad as it was, knock on wood, but still there are fires out there. And the East now, the flooding, I don't know, did you see the new graphics that the Weather Channel's using?
I don't think so.
Okay, the Weather Channel now has amped up their game 100-fold. What they have is their reporter that stands in the middle of the circle, and behind them is sort of a 3D surround screen, and it shows the water rising as it would during these storms.
Oh, right.
And at one point, the water is up above the reporter's head.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to get to like second floor windows.
Yeah. And you don't, you really get the feel of what is going on. Well, we see it on TV, but we just see water rushing down the streets and all that. The Weather Channel, I tell you, they're going to win some awards for this because it really gives people an idea how dangerous all this is. And I don't understand when they say evacuate. They've been telling people to evacuate for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
And there are people that didn't evacuate, and now the first responders have to go in there and try to save these people.
Put their lives at risk.
Yeah, put their lives at risk. So anyway, boy, good luck to everybody out there. We certainly feel for you. And Mother Nature is just global warming, all of it. They say the hotter the earth gets, the warmer the earth gets, the more violent these storms are going to become. So there you go. All right. On another note that has to do with a lot more happier things, there are happy places to live. And I have the top three happiest states in the United States to live in. So you want to take a guess on one of the three, Sean?
Well, it's going to be somewhere with sunshine. So I'd hope California or Florida or somewhere with sun.
No.
No?
No. I thought the same thing. I'm a California girl. I'm thinking, well, California should be up there. But according to this poll taken by the travel industry, the three happiest states are, number three is Minnesota.
Okay.
People seem to be the happiest there. Number two is Utah.
All right.
And number one is Hawaii.
See, it was going with kind of a colder theme, I feel like, until Hawaii.
Until Hawaii. Yeah. Just out of the blue. Hawaii is the number one.
I can see that, though. I can see Hawaii. I feel like ever since I can remember, Hawaii has been that place, like, like you go to, everybody, you know, you got to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I've never been, but it's always been kind of that place.
It's kind of that mystical, magical island life.
Right.
And if you really love it, I could see where, because I know a lot of families that live in Catalina that were born and raised there, and they came over to live just, you know, in Long Beach, and they couldn't deal with it.
No.
Yeah. They just they wanted back on their island. They wanted back to the island life. So I could see the same thing in Hawaii. If it works for you, you could become totally immersed in it and just, you know, how much more beautiful can the views be? Except for a volcano every now and then, but otherwise.
That's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very nice. So there you go, folks. If you're looking for the happiest places to live, Minnesota, number three, Utah, number two, and then Hawaii comes in at number one. Okay, on today's show, like I said earlier, we're going to be talking to Robert Christick. He is the Ramona Chamber President, and he'll be telling us a little bit about Ramona. I have my notes. I'll be talking a little bit about it as well. We have some industry news. We do have those passes for the Living Desert Zoo and Gardens to be giving away during the show. And also remember, on the website, we have all new contests on the free contest page. So on that note, let's just step aside for a moment. When we come back, we have some industry news here, all travel industry news. Right here on Traveling with Françoise on Money Radio, AM and FM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. This segment is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. 760-321-1111. For more information, please take advantage of all the Braille Institute has to offer for free. All right, industry news, always changing in the world of travel. So here you go. Federal Tourism Office says visitor stats have been straightened out. Revised figures show almost 77 million international visitors arrived in the U.S. last year, reversing what had been reported as a 3.1% downturn to an increase of 0.7%. Now, how can they be that far off?
I don't know, because I feel like I just don't trust any number, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, how can you be that far off saying that it was down? Of course, a lot of it they were trying to point to the current administration and some of the things that had happened, only to find that it's actually an increase of 0.7%. Right. That is beyond me. When they have all these people, that's all they do is numbers. I forgot what they're called. There's a name for them. But anyway, so tourism is up. There you go. International visitors to the U.S. is up, so they can't complain. All right, United Airlines president spoke at the Morgan Stanley 6th Annual Laguna Conference, pointed out that in the last 30 years, airline revenue as a percentage or GDP has gone to about 0.6 from 1.2%. He concludes that his conclusion is that airfares should double. He said, we are underpricing our product by 50% is what he's saying. Sometimes airfare can be really confusing. How can you go to New York and spend $700-$800 to fly to New York and then spend $900 to go to Europe?
Because they make things up.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why the insurance part of my doctor bill says, you know, $1,400 for, you know, a checkup.
Yeah, and then but you only have to pay 50.
Because they just make numbers up.
Yeah, they'll settle for whatever. So this is all over the board now, but he's saying that the price of airline tickets is not where it should be in today's economy. So he thinks the fares should be bumped up. Of course, the consumer's saying, well, no, you can't take a family of four. And at Yellowstone, I was still amazed at the prices of the hotel rooms in Yellowstone. At $400-$600 a night, and the families that were staying there for a couple days. I know it's all for the experience, and I'm so glad that they're doing it because I really enjoyed seeing the kids out there experiencing nature. But on the flip side, wow, that's a lot. Can you imagine?
Very tough.
I mean, you would have to, you know, you need $3,000
to save up
to go on a family vacation,
right? Which is not, I mean, that's not a bad thing, but I feel like $3,000 before could have got you pretty far.
Yeah.
You might have made an international vacation on that.
So on places like that, I think you really need to find the outlying cities and stay there where the prices are less.
Yeah.
And then just drive in each day. Okay. On average, nearly 10,000 commercial aircraft carrying well over 1 million people are in the sky at any one time. Airlines flew more than 4 billion passengers worldwide in 2017. Think about that. That's one thing when I'm flying. I am obsessed with looking out the window to see if I can see another jet in the sky somewhere.
I've never seen it. The only time I saw it one time was when we were landing, and it was scary more than anything.
Yeah,
I felt like it was too close.
Seen a couple. One going to Nashville where I could actually see the name of the jet flying off to the left and up higher, not on the same flight, but just high enough to where I could see the name, though, and see it in the window. And I thought, now that's a little too close for me. But in going to Montana, I never saw a jet going either way. And I don't know why I'm obsessed with that, but I just, it's not as if I'm going to be waving at people in the next jet. Like, hey, you know, you're in a car. So anyway.
I think the hardest part for that is to think that right now there's a million people that are not on the ground.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's crazy. 10,000 aircraft are flying around the world right now at any given time.
Wow.
All right. And every once in a while, as your flight is descending, the pilot might announce, will the flight attendants prepare for an early arrival? And we go, early arrival? What does that all mean? It says airline flight data was recently studied based on official airline schedules, and the results aren't good. Scheduled flight times are 35 minutes slower this summer than a decade ago for the same flight going in the same direction. Now, when we were leaving, Montana, they had, I don't really even know what happened, but the flight, they said, when we were leaving here to San Francisco, there was fog in San Francisco. So the pilot was saying, well, we have plenty of time because there's a tailwind and we'll just make it up. So we're going to sit here for another 15 minutes or so.
Right.
And then it became half an hour. And darned if we did not get there, though, on time.
Really?
Yes. So then one of the airline attendants, she was talking to someone else, and she said, well, they now factor in taxi runway time, how long it's going to take you on the runway to get to your designated spot.
Right. That makes sense.
The jet. And they factor in more things than they did before to give the jet more time, so it doesn't look like they're not on time.
Right.
Yeah, so it's confusing.
It's like cheating the system a little bit.
Yeah, I know. So everybody,
I mean, if you still got there on time, then it seems like it's still working.
Yeah, still got there. Same thing, leaving Colorado to come to Palm Springs. Got on the jet, and they said, well, we're going to be delayed about 20 minutes. Saw the pilot get off, thinking, why is he getting off?
Right.
He comes back with coffee. And now,
so he knew he had some time.
Yeah, I guess he didn't want. And then finally a passenger showed up. They waited. They were waiting for one passenger, and they didn't say anything.
Oh.
And this guy comes flying onto the jet and sits, apologizes to the whole jet and says to everybody on it and says sorry. And boom, the door closes and we're gone.
So it seemed like you were waiting for him.
We were waiting for him, yeah. And we actually made that one on time as well after sitting there.
Really?
That was another. I was almost half an hour waiting. So wow. I don't even know anymore how they figure out these flights. So there you go. All right, and if it seemed that your flights were delayed this summer, you were not alone. Air traffic control delays in the U.S. are up substantially over the last year. Not only is it because it was one of the hottest summers on record, creating more weather incidents, but it's also because more planes are in the air during peak times. So there are peak times. In fact, here I back to coming back from Montana when we were at Colorado, Denver, and they were saying this is a peak flight time during the day. Sorry that there's, you know, 20 jets lined up to take off, but we'll get out of here as quick as. And actually, they did move them along really quick. But he said, we do have peak hours here with the airlines. So, and that was around, what, 1 in the afternoon, 1, 2. So, yes, they have traffic delays, traffic jams as well. Two expedition cruise lines have scrapped plans to cruise along the Arctic Canada through the famed Northwest Passage because ice has clogged the route. So they're just telling the people, they're giving them refunds, they're letting them go on a different cruise, but ICE has just bogged it down, so they won't be doing that. And the owner of a fraudulent reviews business has been sentenced to prison and fined in what TripAdvisor considers a milestone for the internet. They invest a lot of money on people, companies that are out there giving paid reviews. They get paid to give reviews. There's so far they've shut down 60 of them. This is what bothers me about Yelp and TripAdvisor and all these online things. There are companies out there that you pay to write bad reviews about everybody else and good reviews about you.
Right.
And they're trying to catch these companies. They shut down another one, but how, you know, before another one pops up? I don't know. I know all these reviews are important to a lot of people, but.
Yeah, but I think you have to take them with a grain of salt. Especially with Yelp. Yelp is garbage.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Really? Yes. A lot of people go by. I mean, right away they say, oh, did you see my Yelp review?
I will not, because when I had the shop, they wouldn't release our positive reviews. And yet there was some kid that came by and was upset, and it popped right up. And it was kind of coincidental that they were also calling me to advertise and become one of their sponsors, one of their main, you know, one of the partners for whatever. And suddenly when I told them no, my reviews weren't popping up right. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in no Yelp.
Yeah. I just, again, they have to be a way to patrol all those reviews. Try to do your own homework, folks. Don't just depend on what other people are saying.
Right.
And today, the U.S. Department of State, updated its travel advisory rating for Cuba from level 3, reconsider travel, to level 2, exercise increased caution. The move is welcomed by a coalition of U.S. tour operators and organizers who have been fighting all these levels there, saying that it has been keeping people away, but there are two hotels that they ask people to avoid, and that is Hotel Nacional and Hotel Capri. They say those hotels still have some problems, but otherwise they say go to Cuba and enjoy yourself over there. So, you know, something to keep in mind without worrying about reviews. Also in the news, major hotels are giving panic buttons to staff nationwide. Tens of thousands of employees at more than 18,000 U.S. hotels will soon carry panic buttons to help protect them from harassment and assault in an era of heightened awareness around the Me Too movement. And their big hotel chains, including Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, IHG, Wyndham, they're all providing their staff with panic buttons. And they said it's going to take a while to get these all out. They say that the devices will be all in place by 2020. I don't know how hard it is to hand out panic buttons, but seems like it's a big operation here. But they are getting them out there. That's the good news. So just keep that in mind. You start yelling and screaming at room service for some ridiculous reason. All right, the Grand Canyon tourism. Yes. So with snowfall dwindling at the Grand Canyon's North Rim, tourism promoters see an opportunity to stretch the visiting season at the less popular side of the canyon so more people experience it will spend money. The canyon's North Rim is fully open less than half of the year and isn't as easy to get to as the South Rim, which attracts 90% of the canyon's annual 6.25 million visitors Wow. The North Rim has equally stunning views, but is more serene with cooler temperatures and far fewer tour buses. So the North Rim is continued to be open because there's been no snow. So if you have a chance, get on over there and check it out. And Disneyland, well, they are selling alcohol. You know, I didn't realize this, that they've been selling alcohol in the California Adventure since it opened.
I was going to say, I thought they did sell alcohol.
I did not know that. But now Disneyland, inside the park Disneyland, they are selling alcohol via the new Star Wars theme land. And it will be starting, both Disneyland and Walt Disney World in Florida are getting the Star Wars Galaxy Edge area. And it's slated to open the summer of 2019. And it is the first new land in Disneyland. The only theme park Walt Disney was involved in was creating from start to finish. So he started this way back. Anyway, they will be selling alcohol to adults in those areas. So that, I don't know if Disneyland alcohol and adults really works.
I think it works perfect. But I want to know how long before you're reading the stories now that Disneyland is now selling marijuana to customers. Yeah, I wonder how long it'll be for that.
That is still such a touchy subject.
It is very much a taboo.
Which surprises me because it's legal.
It's called, I can't remember what it is. Oh. Reefer Madness. That is what the problem is.
Is that what it is?
The movie Reefer Madness is the problem.
Okay. I don't know. I don't get it. All right, folks. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to find out about Ramona, California. Only about 2 hours away. A beautiful ride to get there. Why you should go and experience all they have to offer. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. As I said earlier in the show, I am excited to say that our new episode of Traveling with Françoise comes out this week and is featuring Ramona, California, about 2 hours and 20 minutes away here from the Coachella Valley. It's a beautiful community. It's nestled up in the Santa Maria Valley and has so much history and just really had such a great time there. Joining us from Ramona is the Ramona President of the Chamber, the President of the Ramona Chamber. There you go. I got that right. Bob Kreisig. Hi, Bob.
Hi. How are you, Françoise?
I am great. Thank you. Well, let's talk a little bit about Ramona. And first of all, I want to know, how long have you been there?
I've been here since 1988. I came out here from New York City.
Wow. Okay. And what was it about Ramona that drew you into the community there?
Well, obviously this is about as far from New York City as you can come.
Yeah.
With the hustle and bustle there, I enjoy the laid-back lifestyle here, the open spaces, the mountains, the critters, just everything. It's so appealing and so relaxing, and those of us who live here, really appreciate what Ramona has to offer.
Well, now there's for about 45,000 year-round residents in Ramona, but you have a lot to offer. When they see the show on television, they'll see it all started out as an old route for the miners to get to Julian right. from San Diego, and it has grown from there. So let's talk a little bit about the community as a whole, your downtown area.
Well, we have an old town area, which we are trying to develop into a destination for people. We have, as you know, 30-plus wineries and tasting rooms. The downtown area has some great little restaurants. We have a farm-to-table restaurant down there. We have a tasting room. We have numerous small antique shops with all unique wares. And it's just a nice place to wander around, get a drink, eat a meal, and shop. So we're really proud of our old town, and we're really trying to develop it into a true destination place.
And I did all of that. In fact, I even saw some people writing. We talk about such a horse-friendly community. You have beautiful ranches surrounding the downtown as you go out into the hills and the wineries. And it really is a gorgeous area. Some wonderful golf courses, Mount Woodson, San Vicente, beautiful golf. Just so much going on in that area. And what I, for me, love when I go to towns such as Ramona is there's not this gigantic big box store smack right in the middle of town.
No, that's correct. We don't have any big box stores. They're all unique, family-owned and operated businesses, and just to come explore up here is wonderful. Plus, we have a lot of great hiking trails, mountain bike trails, and it's a great equestrian community, too. So we kind of have it all up here.
You do. And let's talk a little bit about you have, because of the scenery, places such as Ramona, they are very conducive to artists. Artists love to live and work in places such as Ramona. Tell us about your heart murals that are spread throughout the town. They really are fantastic.
Yeah, well, I happen to be on the board of the Heart Mural Project, and we're very proud of the fact that we're putting up all these murals around town. Our goal is ultimately to have 40 murals throughout the town, and that could expand depending on funding and revenue sources. But we make arrangements with the building owners, and then we find the artists, we put them together, and we fund the project. And there are some great, I think we're up to 15 or 16 murals already. And plus we have an art and wine festival every year, the 6th. Annual Art and Wine Festival is coming up on Saturday, November 3rd, from 11 to 5 p.m., and that is the funds from that event go to the Heart Mural Project to continue the mural project, and it's a great event. It's the 6th year, and it's a wonderful time.
Well, I noticed Ramona is a very active community. When I was there, it was the 48th Country Fair, which was really a lot of fun. But I know you have wine tasting events coming up, you have artist events, all sorts of things happening in Ramona to cover all that there is to offer. And my advice to people is certainly to go to the Chamber of Commerce website, which is ramonachamber.com, so people get a feel of what's happening in Ramona. You talked about an event coming up. But Bob, tell us a little bit about year-round. What happens year-round in Ramona as far as events go?
Well, we have, like you talked about, we have the Country Fair every year, usually in August, which is a four-day event. We have what's called the Taste of Ramona that's coming up on October 6th up here, where like 20 restaurants participate, and people buy a ticket and go from restaurant to restaurant and sample their food, and that's always a great event. We have motorcycle events. The same day as the Taste of Ramona, we have a fly-in over at the airport, where we're going to be, there's going to be planes, and that's not run by us, that's run by the airport. We also have a classic Rotors Museum, which is one of the best-kept secrets in Ramona. It's one of only three helicopter museums in the world, and it's a great place to visit. We have the rodeo, the Ramona Rodeo, in May every year. We just have a lot of events going on, and the best place people can find about the events in Ramona is to go to the website ramonaevents.com.
Okay, so
that's where everybody, all the nonprofits, post all the events they're doing in the town of Ramona, so people can plan their stay here and with the events that we have.
Okay, and I will get that up on my website as well. Again, folks, it's ramonaevents.com, and I went to the Classic Rotor, the Helicopter Museum, and amazing. I've never seen anything like it. It really was amazing.
It's incredible. It's the best kept secret in Ramona. It's one, like I said, there's one in, I believe, Boston, and then one in London, and we're only we're the third one in the world. The Helicopter Museum.
And I think, Chip, if I'm right, Chip, the fellow I interviewed over there, I thought he said there's one more out there somewhere that's opening or whatever, but it's going to be hard to beat. That is on the TV show coming up this week, so people get a look at that. Now, as far as lodging, I stayed at the Riviera Oaks Resort, a beautiful property outside of the city, outside of downtown Main Street, about 10, 15 minutes outside of town. But I want travelers and visitors to know that you do have lodging down Main Street as well, right in the city downtown area. Can you touch base on that just a little bit?
Yeah, there is a motel right downtown. And plus, all around town, we have Dos Picos Park, which has trailer spots. We have another RV park that's open to the public right outside of Ramona. We have the Diamond Resorts out in the Country Estates. Mm-hmm. And the Country Estates Association has a hotel out there. So we have, frankly, I'll be honest, we would love to have more lodging than we do. But we have more than people think we do. We have Verona. The Verona Casino has a hotel, which is only about 15 minutes from Ramona. So we have enough lodging for people to come up here and stay while they explore Ramona. We're also looking at pursuing the farm stay, where the wineries will be allowed to turn their facilities into kind of like a bed and breakfast. Mm. But that's going to be down the road. So we have enough lodging here for people who want to come and stay for the weekend and explore Ramona and the outlying areas. So
a lot's going on, folks, in Ramona. And with us is Bob Krysik. He is the Ramona Chamber President there. And, again, we were talking about all the things happening in Ramona. Bob, what do you like to do? Because I know you have the hiking and the biking, the preserves out there, the county preserves, and, oh, my, just so much going on. What is a couple of your favorite things to do in Ramona?
I love to hike.
Ah, okay.
And I love to get out there because the vistas in Ramona are incredible. The trails. We have the Barnett Preserve here, which is a great hiking place. We have the Potato Chip Rock, which really we claim as Ramona, even though they claim it as Poway. And so I like to hike. And frankly, I'm so involved in various community affairs that's my passion. And that's what I spend most of my time doing is helping out various organizations in town.
All right. And I do love the fact, too, that Ramona, you have the original town hall still there. The stories that go along with that, the Ramona town hall, incredible itself. And then you have the first building, which is home to Reds, Whites, and Brews of Ramona. A lot of history in the town, but a lot of new happening as well. You have a really nice mix of everything and easy to navigate. And folks, remember, I want you to go to that website, RamonaEvents.com. Bob, is there anything special? I know you talked about a few events coming up, but is there something about Ramona that you really want people to know about as a resident, as a chamber president? What would you like to say about Ramona?
Well, one of the things that people think is when you say you're from Ramona, they think it's so far out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the comment I get most often, you're so far away. And people should know that Ramona is the exact geographic center of San Diego County. So we are equidistant from any corner of San Diego County. And, again, we have so many things up here. The wineries alone, because every winery is unique. They're family, again, family-run. They're not commercial enterprises. So each winery has a different feel, a different environment, great views. And that's going to be what puts Ramona on the map is our wine country here. And everything else will come along with it, the lodging, the businesses downtown, the antiques, the sidewalk cafes. That's what we're trying to pursue here in Ramona to make for the benefit of both the residents and tourists that come to visit us. So we would invite everyone to come up to Ramona and see what we have to offer. Go to RamonaEvents.com. That lists all the events going on in our town, and you'll have a blast, and you'll keep coming back once you've been here.
Well, I had a great time, and I love the community, and I can't wait to go back. I have a tee time at a couple of your golf courses out there. So
that's good. Great.
I will be seeing you out there, Bob. Thanks so much for joining us today. And Ramona, folks, again, watch the episode. Starts this week on Traveling with Francoise, and you're all going to want to go to Ramona. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you very much, Francoise. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Okay, folks, we're going to step aside for just a moment. We'll be right back with more on Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. All right, we have two passes for the Living Desert Zoo and Gardens that don't expire until March 30th of 2019. That's two admission passes for the Living Desert Zoo and Gardens. Give us a call at 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255 if you would like to win those two passes, and I will mail them out to you. Again, that's 760-440-8255. And we also want to thank Bob Kreisig from calling us, the Ramona Chamber president. Such a great conversation there with Bob. I really enjoyed it. And I did really enjoy my stay in Ramona. All right, our travel question of the week. Would you rather explore a small town or a big city? Yes, all the answers are entered to win a $50 plus bag of travel goodies. So small town or big city? Sean, I'm going to go. You want the small town, right?
No, you know what? That's tough. I don't know if I've told you yet, but outside of my desire to just become a hermit.
Yeah.
I also have a strange desire to live. I would like to live literally in downtown, like in just a building above, just kind of on the main track,
right in the middle of the city.
Right in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but those are both things that I would like to do.
Yeah, this was a tough question for me too. I put these out there and I expect everybody to give me one answer, one or the other. But
because
they're
so strong both ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
They both have such strong qualities.
It depends. If it was a big city, it would really depend on where in the big city it is.
Right.
In New York, of course, if I was looking at Central Park or something, that would be wonderful. Yeah. If I was living in, I don't know. And I love the small towns as well because there saw so many interesting and welcoming small towns in Montana and Wyoming that made me say, I think I could probably live there also, but not tiny town. I'm not talking tiny. I'm talking small towns such as Ramona and such as Bozeman and places like that where there's maybe 30,000, 35,000, 40 people, something like that.
Right.
So the answers goes here. Mary Wabel says, as a family, we would often venture off the freeway to check out small towns, find restaurants, shops, little parks. It was nice family time. I miss those family trips. So I'm thinking that her answer is small town. Deborah Healy says, small town. I miss my Montecito. Well, it's pretty darn beautiful up there. Okay. Gigi says small town. Taylor Gardner says small town. Crystal Adams says, although exploring cities is an adventure, quaint small towns can have a lot of charm and country folk, creating some meaningful memories. So I think she's talking small towns as well. Anwar Fonseca says, live in a small town, but explore the big city. True. That's a good answer right there. Gail Saladino says, I've explored a lot of places in my life and love to see big cities like Mexico City and Montevideo, but I truly get to learn more from small towns when I get more personal contact with the locals, which, yeah, you got to go where the locals hang out. That's the way to see them. Gary Schwartz says, a small town, they have remained small for a reason, which makes them unique. That's a good one, Gary. Diane Williams says, small town. You get to see how people tend to be more connected with each other. They are the soul of our country. All right. Freddie Flores says, small towns. Love them hometown stores, boutiques, and diners. Karen Durath says, small town. I always try to imagine if I lived there and could walk to shops, banks, farmers markets, and more. Agna P. Arias says, big city. Well, here's finally a big city person exploring all of the different components that make up the city as a whole. Lots to take in. But so, I mean, small towns is winning hands down. Susan Brown Rosenberg says, small town. Marcy Myers Dutcher says, small town. All kinds of history and hidden treasures if you train your eyes to see. Bruce Raphael says, small towns with small airports. The breakfasts at small town airport restaurants are the bomb. Pilots won't eat just anything. A few examples, Half Moon Bay, Monterey, California, Marana, Arizona, outside of Tucson. So there you go. I guess I need to eat more breakfast at the small town airports.
There you go.
Yeah. They are fun, though. You have to say when you can go to going to Arizona, and even Nashville was a smaller airport. It's just so easy to navigate. There's not that stress
right.
involved. Just no
that
stress.
Hustle and bustle.
Yeah. Carol Schumacher says small town, and Gina Edwards says small towns, love the tiny shops and people you meet. So thanks, everybody, for your answers. They all will be included in our question, a travel question of the week. And somebody's going to win a prize. Maybe we'll pick a winner on the next show. Also, ACT, they have a lot going on. They have their Mount Rushmore trip coming up. And that's going to be, what, in February, March of next year? Sign up for it now. It's only $9.95. Includes the historic sites of Rapid City, South Dakota, Black Hills, Crazy Horse. So check it out through ACT. I think it's going to be in the spring of next year. Oh, wait, May 4th through 7th. There, I knew I had it somewhere right there. And it's $9.95. Dana Wharf Whale Watching, they put on, they shared a link. They saw some orcas out there, a pod of orcas. I think it's a pod. I have to look at all my animal family names when they're together. Off the coast of down there in Dana Point. And it was a mom and her babies and a couple moms and babies, and they were swimming along. They came up next to the boat and stuff. It was really a great video.
That sounds awesome.
I know. So I posted it on Traveling with Francois. So if you want to go whale watching, the whales are now migrating. Let's see. Summer, they go to up north to Alaska. Summer's over, so that means they'll be coming back down to Mexico in the Mexico waters to have their offspring. So again, the whales will be migrating back and forth constantly. A lot of whale sightings out there, especially now that the waters are warmer everywhere. The whales don't necessarily now go back and forth all
right.
the time.
Not to travel as far, at least.
Yeah, they have warm waters all over. We're getting warm. So anyway, so if you want to go or sport fishing, whale watching, sport fishing, Dana Wharf, they started it all. Go to their website, danawharf.com. Surprise somebody that loves to sport fish with a sport fishing trip. And then Borrego Springs Resort and Spa. Remember, Borrego Days is happening October 19th, 20th, and 21st. I will be emceeing the parade and doing the awards as I have for the last several years. So check it out. Make your hotel reservations now. We're going to have we have five bands so far in the parade. We have an air parade that you won't want to miss, and that is a half an hour air parade before the parade starts. That starts at 10. So Borrego Springs Resort and Spa has a golf course, Arches Restaurant, the spa, tennis courts, pools, sauna, you name it, they have it. Make your reservations now. Go to BorregoSpringsResort.com. So I think, you know, that's a lot of stuff going on in the world of travel. Never, never, ever stops. Now, I do have a surprise for everyone. Huellhauser's cameraman for 12 years is going to be joining us on the show on September 30th. He's going to spend the second hour with us, the travel hour, and talk about working with Huellhauser. He has some stories. He has a book out. He goes out and gives some lectures and gets 200-300 people at each one of these. But he will be in here in studio with us, and I think we'll be doing a live feed so you can actually see Louis and hear his stories. You can watch him on our Facebook page. We're setting that up right now. Plus, listen to it on the radio as well. So I'm excited about that. He's very fond of Huell, but he says he was quite a character. So we're going to find out about that. Next week on the show, in the first hour, we're going to paint El Paseo pink with the event coming up. And then there is the wine event happening in Idlewild. We're going to hear about that. Perhaps you might want to go up there. And remember, going up 74, there are a few areas where they are doing some road construction. The delay was not bad when I went to Ramona. In fact, it looks like they're going to have it done fairly quickly. It looks like they're putting some guardrails in where there weren't any. And I never saw any fire damage. I mean, we think that 74 we'd see fire, but I never saw anything. But give yourself about 20 extra minutes in case there are some road closures up Highway 74, and there was a few of them up on 371 as well. Don't forget to check out my travel blog on CoachellaValley.com. It's time for a new one. I'm torn between Montana or Ramona. I know I'm going to do one on each, but I just don't know which one I want to do first. I don't know why. It's just that's the way my mind works.
If you're going to do both of them, don't worry about it.
Yeah, my mind has to process. It's a process. And Traveling with Francoise this Thursday on Fox 11. Don't miss it with our new episode featuring Ramona, California. And that's it for now. We'll be back next week. I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. And as always, remember, it's never too late to get a life. I really mean that. I'll see you next time. Bye.